I have not. Yeah, I would love to have you come up, Nick. It's a song I like, but I have not practiced it, so please have compassion on me.
You said 305?
Yes. I don't know if I can actually do it to music. I'm not sure that I could do it to music. If you don't mind, I'll just sing it a cappella. I'm not musically inclined, so. If you want to come up, you're welcome to. You know that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, it's 3:05 if you want to sing with us or if you want to follow along in the Bible, in your hymnal. You ready?
Okay.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry, dark midnight was my cry, dark midnight was my cry, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. Just about the break of day, just about the break of day, just about the break of day, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. Oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus.
I believe that's an old Negro spiritual, isn't it? It is, I thought so. Our scripture reading this morning is 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That's the one. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And now I'll turn it over to the Holy Spirit and Simon.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Well, okay. She is not feeling the greatest, and she didn't want to take a chance to come in here and get other people sick. So, so I've lost my ability to print. So I'm going to try this electronically. So pray for me. Actually, shall we have a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, for your mercy and for your love. Father, we're asking for you to give us all the Holy Spirit. You would be here to dwell with us and within us. Father, put a hedge of protection around this church. Keep us safe. Guard our hearts and our minds. Be with me as I speak, Father. Lay me in the dust and speak through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So good morning. It's funny, this morning when I came into church, there was one car. I didn't realize there were so many people here. I couldn't see over here. I just saw over here there was one vehicle. I went, I wonder if I made a mistake. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be here today. So I have a question, which I probably know the answer to. Have you ever prayed for something you wanted God to do? Something that you desperately wanted him to do, something that you spent many months on your knees praying for him to do, or an issue that you wanted him to take care of desperately. Did it work out for you?
Not yet.
Uh-huh. Not yet. Have you ever asked God to do something for you and say, Father, if you do this, I will do this? Have you ever made a covenant with God? Done that too. Did you keep your covenant? You did. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5, 2, 4, and 5 says, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. It's actually talking about the sanctuary. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. I've spent time on my knees on certain things, asking him to do things for me or for those around me. I always would ask him to do it a certain way or grant something that I wanted. And it's funny to me now because I know that there are no mistakes in this life. Right? There are no accidents. Everything happens for a reason. And yet, when things don't go as we think they should or as I think they should, I get upset. And I forget that God is in control. God controls everything. Think about this. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And in Psalm 46, 10, we read, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So I've been praying for a few months now, if not years, a few years, for my mom, praying that God would heal her, make her feel better. And she's been having so many surgeries lately that her body is unable to heal in between them. Now they're going to, I believe, put her in the hospital for a week and just continually scrape the dead tissue away from her wound. And it's interesting to me that it's getting worse the stronger and harder that I pray. You think I should stop praying for her? No. No, I don't think so either. James 5, 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Here's the key to me, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In the New IV version, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What is a righteous man or a woman? Can someone define that for me? What is a righteous man or woman? Okay, hold on. I love, this means the most to me when we interact with each other, amen? Because God wants a people who know. God wants a thinking people to see the things that are going on around them. So, Tom, you said, in harmony with God's will. Right with God. On God's side. Did you say something? Sorry. Obeys God. Yeah.
The man is clean conscience.
Clean conscience. Ooh, that's, yeah.
Just having God in your heart.
God in your heart. Tori. Amen. Yes, it does. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. Mason, I'm sorry. I forgot. Mason's kind enough to do my slides this morning. So we should be on slide 4, Mason. Okay. So Genesis 6:9. I'm going to speak a little bit about Noah just for a minute. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then in 13 through 21, and God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood." Make. And you shall, I'm kind of skipping through here, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather to it yourself, and it shall be for you, for food for you and them. In 22, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And then in 7:1, he says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." So to me, a righteous man or woman is someone who wholeheartedly follows God in all that he says within the basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Or the Bible. And they're walking in all the light that they have, no matter what the rest of the world is saying around them, in all the light that they have. Even when people come up to you and said, or say, "Why are you building an ark? It's never rained. What's the point?" I know that no matter how bad it gets or just how close to death my mother comes, you know, I will not give up praying to God. Even if she does not pull through this and dies, I will not stop praying. I pray that God is able to work through me that she might see him before she sleeps. I pray that I might honor and glorify him in all my interactions with her, and that she's able to just get a small glimpse of a God who loves her that she doesn't truly know, because he is a living God. So in Bible readings for the home, Michelle and I did a study one morning. It was very early one morning, and it was titled Answers to Prayer. It's on page 599. And after doing the study with Michelle, I said, "Wow, that's a really good study. We need to share that." So that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to take a look at some of the scriptures in God's word that talks about prayer, okay? So the first section in the book is titled, or in this particular study, is titled God's Unlimited Ability. Unlimited Ability. So on slide 5, okay, thank you, Mason. How does God anticipate the needs of his children? How does he anticipate the needs? In Isaiah 65:24, the Bible reads, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." Do you think that's possible with God? Do you think God is possible to understand your prayer before you even pray it?
Yes.
Or respond to that prayer before you've even prayed it? Yeah. If we were to look at Daniel 9:20-23, Gabriel flies swiftly and speaks with Daniel while he's still praying. Gabriel states that the command went out at the beginning of Daniel's prayer. Is there any limit to God's ability to help? Are you able to keep up with me, Mason? You can see the slide that's coming. Ephesians 3:20 reads, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So here we see that God can do such great things, nothing is impossible for him. And if we tie that back to Isaiah 58:8-9 that we read earlier, we can see that a big part of the reason to our prayers not being answered sometimes is because he has the big picture. We don't. We don't understand all the things that are going on around us. I listened to a sermon the other day where an individual within a family died. Many people were praying for that individual, but that person still died. And yet, a person who'd never gone to church within that family all of a sudden realized that God existed and started to attend church. Right? So everything's a ripple. Right? We may not understand what's going on around us, but as long as we stand strong in faith, right, that's the key. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We can't allow the devil to pull us away, right, because that's what he would love to do. He'd love to put us under so much oppression that we just realize that this can't be. Maybe God doesn't exist, or just that doubt in your mind that you start to slide away from God. That's not what God wants, but the devil wants that. Because he has the big picture, right? Listen to this. Listen to these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path to life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's heaven. Can you even grasp what heaven will be like? Sometimes I think about being able to go to other worlds. You know, before I came into the church, I was a big Star Trek fan. And the reason I like Star Trek is because I wanted to go out and explore. But I was always nervous about how scary it seemed at the worlds that they were going to, right? But when Jesus comes back and this is done, we'll be able to go anywhere we want without fear, right? Because all of creation will be in harmony with God's will. Haven't you ever wondered if the things going on in your life, maybe the very things that are causing you to fall to your knees to pray in today, are the very things that God is using in a way we can't understand in order to help us more fully come to him and take all doubt from our minds? How fully has God promised to supply our needs? Anybody know? In Philippians 4:19, the Bible states, "And my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do we not read in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I shall not want, right? Even some people who have very little have a lot. Right? And some of those people who have a lot have very little. I have a friend who owns 8 or 9 houses. He's got extremely large bank accounts and 401ks and retirements. And yet he is missing something so big and he can't see it. He doesn't understand. He thinks that his happiness is going to come from those things that he has, that he possesses. And he continually works and works and works to get more. And yet that emptiness is never full. You know, he'll work and work and work until the day he dies, and he'll never have what he's truly missing. So even though you may have little, if you've got God in your heart and you're following him, you have a lot. You have eternal life, right? Don't forget Romans 8:28. Does anybody know what that says? Yeah. Yeah, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so let's look at man's limited understanding, right? Staying in Romans, do we always know what to pray for? Do you always know what to pray for? To some degree, right? Sometimes we have no idea, right? Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." I can remember the first few times that Michelle and I started attending Bible studies. And, you know, we always opened with prayer, right? But I never wanted to open with prayer because I always felt that my prayers were not good. I had no idea what to say. I had no idea who I was really talking to. And yet all of these people sitting around me are going to hear what I'm going to say, and I'm going to make a mistake, and I don't want to do that, right? Now, it's like talking to my best friend, right? It's like talking to somebody who has loved me before I even realized who he was. So talking to him in prayer is a blessing. It's a privilege, right? To go to your knees, it's a privilege. Let me ask you, does God always see fit to grant your petitions, your prayers? Do they always get responded to? Yes? And that's it right there, right? It may not happen the way you want it to. In 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is Paul talking. There's a note in the study. It says, Paul's affliction, some have thought, was impaired sight. And they're citing Acts 9:8-18, 22:11-13 for that. The retaining of such an imperfection would be a constant reminder to him of his conversion, and hence a blessing in disguise. That's amazing, right? Something that, think about your hip being out of socket, right? Wouldn't that remind you constantly of wrestling with God? Would you ever be able to forget that? Let's look at patience and perseverance. If an answer does not come at once, what should we do? Quit, right? We would quit. If an answer doesn't come at once, what do you do?
Persevere.
That's right, Joe.
Whenever I start a prayer, I think how ridiculous some of my wants are. But I always praise God for what he's given us. Lessons and victory that he's going to give us. Persevere. But anybody that knows us, because the second coming is the goal.
You know, as a new Christian, I didn't know what the Lord's Prayer was. I had no idea what that was. Yeah, well, we never opened the Bible in my previous church. Never once opened the Bible.
Was it a Sunday church?
Yes, it was. We, even in Bible studies that I attended there, we never brought the Bible to the Bible study. We always used a small book, never referenced into the Bible either. So, very strange.
Thank God you're here.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, amen. Psalms 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass." Has anybody here ever read through Psalms? Have you ever counted how many times we are told to wait or have patience? I think I counted over 20 times once. I started to highlight it as I read through them. We were praying for things. It should be a prayer that is reverent and holy unto the Lord as we wait patiently for him to reveal to us the answer, even if it's the answer we don't want. Listen to just one of the scriptures in Psalms. It's 27:14. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Why was the parable of the importune widow given? Luke 18:1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You know, in Luke 11:5 through 8, Jesus talks of a friend going to another friend for bread, right? And that friend pushes him away and says, nah, pretty much, no, I'm paraphrasing. And yet he persists, right? And that's why he gets the bread, because he's persistent. So in our prayer life, we need to be persistent. And I'm not saying, you know, a flippant, yeah, Father, here I am again. Thank you so much for this day. Please, I'm looking for more money. Right? That's not how we would pray to a father, right? It's in reverence.
That's what you tell your boss.
What's that?
That's what you tell your boss.
Yeah. Yeah. The importune widow found in Luke 18 got her responses because of her persistency. God wants us to seek him and seek him earnestly. And when we pray, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How did Elijah pray before obtaining his request? In James 5:17 through 18, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Excuse me. When you pray, is it an earnest prayer given in a right spirit or a flippant prayer made to check a box? I've had stories of people who have been in the middle of a car accident, right? They're driving along, it's snowing, car starts going out of control, and they say, Jesus, cover me with the blood. Help us. And they get saved. Do you think that's a flippant prayer? No, I think that's a prayer made in need, in a desperate time of need. I watched a movie once where a person was giving thanks for the food they were about to eat. And they said, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. You think that's an appropriate prayer? Yeah, he was a bad person in the movie. He was a really bad person, and his life was starting to turn to Christ. His son showed up, and he wanted to pray. His son, he beat his son badly as a child. And the son couldn't believe that he was even praying at all. I think that's not a correct prayer, but for somebody who is learning, at least he's starting to pray, right? At least his heart is in the right frame, and he's trying to speak to a God he doesn't know. In Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Right? I think God would overlook that in the case of somebody who was trying to learn how to communicate with him. Listen to this quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. Next slide, Mr. Mason. Found in Prophets and Kings, page 156 and 157. It was because Elijah was a man of large faith that God could use him in his grave crisis in the history of Israel. As he prayed, his faith reached out and grasped the promises of heaven, and he persevered in prayer until his petitions were answered. He did not wait for the full evidence that God heard him, but was willing to venture all on the slightest token of divine favor. And yet he was enabled to do under God all, I'm sorry, let me start that again. And yet what he was enabled to do under God, all may do in their sphere of activity in God's service. For of the prophet from the mountains of Gilead, it is written, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's James 5:17. Faith such as this is needed in the world today. Faith that will lay hold of the promises of God's word and refuse to let go until heaven hears. Faith such as this connects us closely with heaven and brings us strength for coping with the powers of darkness. Through faith, God's children have subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fear, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. And through faith, we are today to reach the heights of God's purpose for us. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth, Mark 9:23. Faith is an essential element of prevailing prayer. The statement draws my mind to the statement Jacob made in the middle of the night by the brook. Can anybody tell me what that is? I will not let you go unless you bless me, right? The blessings that God would give us, that would he would grant us, are far greater than the things we could pray for. Because we don't really know the blessings that God is capable of, right? In Scripture it tells us we don't pray as we ought to. We don't really know. But God wants to bless us. He will bless us. And I look back at the year, last year, I'm just amazed at the blessings that he gave me. Blessings I could never see coming, right? Promises in the Bible are just that, promises. And the one who gives them does not lie. You think God lies?
It's impossible.
It's impossible, that's right. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And he does not change, right? Does God change? No. No, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he said it, then it's true and something that we can count on all the days of our lives. What are the fundamental conditions of prayer? Upon what condition does Christ say we shall receive? In Mark 11:24, the Bible reads, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Do you think that's a bit of a stretch? To pray for something and then believe that you get it? To ask for something and be told that we have to believe we would get it, whatever we've prayed for, that we would actually get it, it seems almost too good to be true, doesn't it? God has a way of answering prayer that we don't understand, that we can't see. Can anyone tell me why it's so important to have this faith, this kind of faith, to believe that whatever we pray, we're going to get, Joe?
Well, one of the reasons you pray is because you have faith in him. And another reason you pray is because there's faith in you.
Those are really good points, Joe, because you wouldn't bother to pray if you had no faith, right? What would be the point? Sorry? It can be desperate. That's true. Yes. Yes. That's true. Hebrews 11:6 says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith. Slide 16, Mr. Mason. Do you remember Jesus talking about having faith as a mustard tree? Your faith starts off small and it grows over time as God answers or shows you new things, either in his word, his world, or the people who inhabit his world. A mustard seed is tiny. It's tiny, right? But when it grows into a tree, look at the root system. It's deep, right? That faith is strong. That faith is not easily moved, right? In the times to come, we see the world around us and you look and you say, wow, this world is ripe. But I say, we got a long way to go, right? Because the violence and the things that we see around us will be greater than anything this world has ever known. So to me, it's going to get worse. So your faith, it's got to be rooted deep. You've got to hold on, right? That's why I kind of like the mustard seed in the tree, because that's a deep root system. If you were going to try to pull that out of the ground, you'd have to have a pretty big machine to do that. Without this faith, will God answer prayer? James 1:6-7, but let him ask in faith with no doubting or wavering in the King James Version. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Excuse me. If you get done praying and your first thought is, this is pointless, but I guess it can't hurt. Is that showing faith? No. You think that God would honor that prayer? It's hard to say, right? We don't know. When you pray, do you stand and irreverently ask God for something? Hey, God, if I pray for a good day, or God, I expect you to give me that new truck today, or God, I'm sick and tired of my life and I want a new one right now because I deserve it, or something like that. You know, I've asked my sons to pray in front of us. Now, they're not Christians at all. And they have very short prayers. I'm just happy that they're willing to pray. What petitions may we confidently expect God to hear? 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. How would we be able to pray according to his will? What is God's will? God's will is expressed in his law, his promises, and his word. That's Psalms 48, Romans 2, 17 through 18, and 1 Peter 1, 4. So, some examples of answered prayer. Can anybody tell me examples of answered prayer in the Bible? King Hezekiah, yeah. What's that? Hannah? Did you say Hannah or Daniel?
Hannah.
Out came Samuel, that's right. Elijah, yeah. Daniel, right? Everybody was going to get killed. And Daniel asked for understanding in the vision, and it was given to him. Tori. Who?
Esther,
yeah. Yeah. Next slide there, Mason. How about Solomon? Solomon asked for wisdom rather than life, right? Or, I mean, he asked for wisdom rather than long life and riches, but what besides wisdom did God give him?
Long life.
Long life and riches, right? Okay. Slide 20, Mr. Mason. I hope I haven't made a mistake here. Okay. So, how do we pray to our Father in heaven in a way that he hears us? Right? What's kind of the steps for this? In the next slide, Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ." I would recommend reading 3:14 through 21, 22. It's just fantastic, right? Strength of the inner man. I mean, it's when Daniel prayed, But in Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, right? This is talking about when you weren't allowed to do something. Can you tell me what that is? That's right. And so when he knew that that was signed, and he knew that he would get into trouble, he didn't go and pray. Did he? Yes, he did, right? Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as his custom was since early days. We should pray according to 1 John 5:14-15, according to his will. Right? His will is his commandments. Right, his promises, right? We must ask according to his will and not our own. Right? Take this cup from me, Jesus said. Right? But not my will be done, thy will be done. Right? Why would God hear us? Why would God hear us? 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. God would not hear the children of Israel when they strayed from him. In fact, he said he would turn his face from them in that day because they turned to other gods. We're not turning from the evil ways, and they were defiling his secret place. That's all in Deuteronomy 31:18, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and Ezekiel 7:22. What's the safest way to keep God's commandments? In your heart. That's right. Yeah. Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. And then it comes right back to James 5:16. Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What did we say the definition of a righteous man was, or woman, earlier? Remember I used Noah? A righteous man is one who wholeheartedly follows God, or woman, wholeheartedly follows God and all that he says within the Bible. And all the light that they walk in each and every day, no matter how many people gather around them saying how crazy it is to build that boat. Okay. Let me end with a prayer that's on page 605 of the Bible readings for the home. It's written by William Cowper. Prayer makes the darkest cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And Mason, if you would go to slide 25, those are just a few things that we're told to pray for in the Bible. I'll leave that up. Prayer is an amazing thing. It's a gift to be able to converse with a God who loves us. I pray that your prayer life is such that you see him. And I once prayed, we always pray before we leave the house, right? We have a certain prayer that we pray. And one day I was speaking and I forgot to pray. And as we were driving, I said, I'll pray, honey. She was driving, Michelle. And I asked him to give us a sign to see that he was with us, right? And when we got to the church, we sat in the pew, and it was Sabbath school. And a person came in that hadn't been to church ever since COVID. And she turned to me and said, is your birthday today? And I said, no, it isn't. But it was actually the next day. And she said, well, I don't know how this individual keeps reaching you, but here's a birthday card. The individual had died, was dead. Had been dead for well over a year, I believe. So I prayed that prayer on the way to church that Sabbath, right? And yet this person who had picked up this card off this person's dresser drawer after they were cleaning her room out didn't come to church until that day? I mean, that's an answer to prayer, right? You can't deny that. And it was extremely humbling because to pray that and have it answered in that fashion is just a miracle to me. I pray that you were able to get something from this message this morning. Our closing prayer is 526, because he lives. Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Again, we're thankful to be here with you. We pray that our prayers would honor you and that you would be with us. Help us to know what to say to you, Father. Help us to know what to ask for. Speak to us individually as people that we may speak to others on your behalf. Grant us a light that shines brighter than ever before and a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Especially for the days ahead. Father, we also pray for those who are ill and sick with the COVID that's around us, Father, the people that have lost their lives and the families who are left without those people, Father. We just pray that you would protect us, you would heal us, and that you would strengthen us for no matter what happens to us or ahead of us. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.